is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the wash of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Friends, it's great to be with you again. You know, it's a beautiful day outside here in Texas. It really doesn't matter whether it's winter, summer, spring, or fall. You know, God has planned it so that there's always beauty. I've always said that. You probably heard me here. I don't want to be a broken record, but wherever I've been in the United States, and I've been to most of the states, I have found something of significance, something of beauty. Whether it's out in the desert, in Arizona, Nevada, or in Yosemite National Park in California with a tremendous waterfall, and then a little north of there, incredible redwood trees. Here in the Austin, Texas area, of course, we have the hill country. Oh, some people call them mountains, but they're not mountains, but they're big hills, and they're beautiful with oak trees and those terrible old cedars that put out some pollen and make people sick. God must have a reason for those. I'm sure going to ask him when I get to heaven why he made these cedar trees. Of course, if there weren't cedars in many areas of the world, people wouldn't have wood for, heat and for building homes and such. I know that they're of great usefulness in the Middle East, for example. But here we have a lot of other trees. I'm not sure about the cedars. But I'll just leave that to God. He must have known what he was doing. You know, it's great to be with you. We have a series going on now, the Apostle Paul and his prophecies. And today, believe it or not, we're in part number 10, I think it is. Wow. You know, I remember hearing of a pastor who took one verse out of the book of John and preached on it for 78 weeks. One verse. Well, we're not going to do that, but that just shows you how powerful the Bible is. One verse, and he preached 78 weeks on it. Well, there must have been some incredible power in that one verse. And there is when you get to the Word of God. You know, the more times you read a verse of Scripture, the more you see in it, and the more the Holy Spirit teaches you. Remember those parts of the Bible where Jesus said that he had other things to teach the disciples, but for right now they couldn't bear them? In other words, they weren't able, they weren't ready for them. I think that happens to us sometimes. Sometimes we read passages of Scripture, we're not ready, and the Holy Spirit just lets it go by, and then we go back to it and read it, study again, and then God is good enough to tell us the meaning of that and explain it to us. That's why we should read the Bible over and over again. And I think you're going to enjoy hearing about the prophecies of Paul. A lot of people know Paul as the great evangelist, but very few people discuss the fact that he was one of the greatest prophets. And I think that's something we need to emphasize, and we're going to do it right here. We're going to have a song now by Boyd Cole and his group, the Desert Airs. They actually did an album. And they went to a lot of churches back when he was just a young man. And here's a song, and it's about, I've got the corners of my hymn book turned down. Well, we're going to see just what this is. It's from a long time ago, but I believe you'll enjoy it. And then we'll go right into today's message. And now here is Boyd Cole singing with the Desert Airs.
I got the corners turned down in that hymn book of mine, on the songs that help me, my Savior to find. I got the corners turned down on number 123. I shall never forget. It was love lifted me on the old rugged cross. In the garden alone, is it well with your soul?
Woman with child, she's going about her business, and then suddenly she feels tremendous labor pains, and they come upon her rapidly. Verse 4 says, but ye brethren, that's all Christians now, but ye brethren are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. You see, my friends, yes, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the whole world will not even believe it. They won't expect it. They'll think peace and safety should come here, but a great tribulation is going to come upon this planet. But Paul said, listen here, you children of the light, L-I-G-H-T, that's children of Jesus, because he is the light of the world. While the whole world is asleep in their sin and drunken with all the great pleasures and carnal things of earth and this world, we're to be sober. We're to put on faith and love and the hope of salvation. That's the helmet. And then the faith and love is the breastplate. Oh, we're to be like good warriors and protected against the lies of the last days, against the strong delusion that is to come upon the whole world. And that hour of temptation, it says in the book of Revelation, in that letter to the church of Philadelphia, the hour of temptation that is to come upon the whole world, the temptation to believe in the beast and to take the mark, and to reject the truth of Jesus Christ. And we're not in darkness, my friends. I think we can see certain signs. We may not know the day nor the hour, but we know of the signs. We know of the prophecies. And if you keep track of the prophecies, you'll have an imminency, a feeling that Jesus Christ is coming again, an expectation. And I believe the more the world does not believe in the coming of Christ, the more the world says you will not be caught up in the air to be with him. So get real. You're right here on earth. This is the only hope we've got. Mikhail Gorbachev, the former president of the Soviet Union and Russia, said that in a speech to the United Nations. He said, this earth is like the ark. We're all on this ark together. There's nowhere else, he said. There's no heaven, there's no paradise outside this earth. That's what all the environmentalists are teaching.
The earth is all we've got. We've got to protect it and love our Mother Earth. It's all we've got. We're here. And when you die, you just go back into nature and become one with nature. Of course, that's not biblical. It's not scriptural. But it's worldly. And they'll cause so many to believe that. I was listening to a person on Trinity Broadcasting Network. He's called the Walking Bible by some people. And the man quotes the Bible left and forward. And somebody asked him, are we going to be raptured in the air? And he said, well, the fact is we're going to come right back here to earth because we're going to be on earth forever. We'll never leave earth, but it's going to be transformed into a heaven. And I thought, what a bunch of baloney. This man doesn't know his Bible. I'm telling you, my friends, when we're caught up in the air, raptured as some would call it, there's going to be hell here on earth. You don't want to stay here on earth after you're caught up in the air. Let me tell you, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus forever. And there, here on earth, some very bad things are going to happen. Now you say, well, prove that text. Prove it. Okay, I will. Verse 9, chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, there's a mouthful there. Listen, a headful even. God has not appointed you to wrath. The wrath of God is upon those who reject Him. His wrath is upon this world. All those who reject the Son of God, their lot is the wrath of God. But that doesn't have anything to do with you and me. I'm not appointed to wrath. I know Jesus Christ as Lord. Do you? If so, you're not appointed to wrath. There is a great day of destiny coming, my friend. But I, Tex Mars, I know that I'm appointed for something other than wrath. I'm appointed to eternal happiness. I am. Yes, I am. How? Why? Because I've obtained salvation. From who? By our Lord Jesus Christ. And there it is in verse 9. You can receive the same salvation, accepting Jesus Christ and trusting in His commandments and His love and following Him and taking up His cross. You will obtain salvation. You cannot earn it. You can't do anything to get it. You simply have faith and believe in Jesus Christ. And by Him, you will have obtained it. He'll just give it to you as a free gift. You don't really deserve it. Don't think you do. And don't think you're better than all those other Christians that suffered so much through tribulation in past centuries. You're just fortunate that you haven't up to now. But you might start real soon. We could be suffering great persecution any day now. I'm telling you, the signs point to that. Now, let's look more about this. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation from our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you'll have time. Now, we're not going to have time on this program, but Isaiah 27 and 28 is the very same picture, and it is an astonishing picture indeed. I'm sorry, let's start with chapter 26. Chapter 26. Verse 17 of Isaiah says, like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not brought any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the earth fallen. You see, Christians in the last days are going to suffer greatly, just like a pregnant woman in great pain. And they're going to say, you know, we haven't delivered this earth to you, Lord. We haven't won the whole world. We have not brought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. If you think there's going to be a Christian empire on earth, and this earth is going to be taken over by the Christians, and we're going to have everything, and we're going to control this earth, and there's going to be Christian presidents and prime ministers, you're nuts. It says here that the inhabitants of the world have not fallen. The Christians have not been able to do it. And they're whining and complaining to God in the last days. And they're saying, we haven't wrought any deliverance, Lord. Everything we've done is just like the wind. There's no telling effects. The wind comes and it goes, and there it is. We haven't accomplished anything. And the inhabitants of the world haven't fallen. And we're the ones suffering. We're the ones in tribulation. We're the ones in pain. I can just hear a lot of Christians whining and complaining. I understand that. When you're in pain, when you're in suffering, you're in torment. You're being oppressed by the powers that be. But listen, listen, the very next verse tells what happens next. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body, that's Isaiah's, shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. My friends, the dead are going to come out of their graves just at that time. When the Christians realize we cannot change everything here on earth. We can't make everything better. We can't make this into a Shangri-La or utopia or paradise. It's going to get worse and worse here on earth. And they're going to hate us more and persecute us more and more. But then, the dead come out first of their graves, including Isaiah. And then listen to what Jesus says. Verse 20. Come, this is in Isaiah now. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Do you understand what that means, my friends? Jesus says, come on up, my friends. Come, my people, enter into my chambers. Didn't you know that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you? Didn't he say that there are mansions in heaven? And now he's saying, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers until the indignation be overpassed. God's indignation, his righteous indignation. He's angry. And it says here, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Now, my friends, we go back to what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, come up into your chambers that I've prepared for you, my people. And hide yourself. Close your doors up here. And I'm going to go to earth. I'm going to leave heaven and go to earth, and I'm going to punish the inhabitants of the earth for all of their iniquities. Wow. That's the wrath of God. I wouldn't want to be on earth after the Christians leave this place. After we're caught up in the air, let me tell you what's going to happen, my friends. It's not the Antichrist that's going to hurt you. It's not the devil that's going to do damage. It's God. I'd rather fight the Antichrist and the devil than fight God, wouldn't you? But the inhabitants of the earth who have rejected Christ will find that God is going to bring his great wrath. But as for you and me, my friends, if you know Jesus, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people may say, well, Tex Mars, can you give me some assurance from Scripture that Jesus Christ really is going to come again? Well, you know, Peter said in the last days there would be many scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the sign of his coming again and of the end of the world? And Paul warned about these scoffers. That is, in fact, a sign of the last days. The fact that we have so many scoffers today that don't believe Jesus is coming back, you know, it'd ruin their plans for the future. Well, he's going to ruin a lot of plans. Let me give you some scriptural confidence here. You know, Matthew chapter 26, verse 64, Jesus himself said, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Now, when Jesus was taken up again, you know, after he died on the cross, he came back and spent many days with the disciples.
and remember Doubting Thomas, as he was called, even put his own hand and felt to make sure that it was Jesus there. Well, listen to this. You know, during that time, they asked Jesus when he would come to restore the kingdom. Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, they asked him that. And Jesus said, it's not for them to know. It's not for them to know the times or the seasons. But listen to this. Verse 9 says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. My friends, he went up right into the clouds, and he's coming back again the same way. Well, this is Tex Mars. We're going to continue this series next week here at Bible Home Church.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.